Once the rocket leaves the launch pad, then all control for the mission goes to Houston.
Okay. Okay, let's try and do our 6 minutes for the day. This is the Special Science Studio, Artemis II program, episode 9, on the 9th of April, and it is 2:50 p.m. El Paso Mountain Time. Welcome, everybody, to the Science Studio Special, Science Studio Artemis II. I'm Keith Pannell in radio station KTEP in El Paso, and at the other end of the telephone is my good friend Jose Hurtado from the geology department out here at UT El Paso. So I'd like to go back to the flashes. This has intrigued me. I didn't sleep last night. I was having flashbacks to your flashes. And, you know, what do you think? I've got an idea. And that is, I remember years ago listening to an NPR story where Susan Stamberg took some lifesavers into a closet and snapped the lifesavers in half and saw flashes of, I presume, fluorescence. Do you think there's something like that could be happening?
Potentially. I mean, you know, an impact, which is what these probably are, or maybe, is a rock traveling at hypervelocity speeds. You know, we're talking like, you know, 10 kilometers per second hitting the surface of the moon, and all that kinetic energy, all that energy of motion gets immediately transferred into the target of the moon. So it's essentially an explosion. So that's going to release a lot of energy, and a portion of that energy is going to be released as light, you know, a flash of light. So that's probably what these impact flashes are. Well, that's what an impact flash is.
And could they distinguish an area of flashing as opposed to one flash, if you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you see stars out there, which are binary stars, and you think, oh, there's a star, but it turns out it's two or more. Could that be operative here?
Yeah, well, the astronauts, you know, so they were all observing at the same time. So in a couple instances, two or even three of the crew members observed a flash simultaneously in the same place. So they were probably all seeing the same one. And then, as I think I talked about last time, we've got a map showing where the astronauts saw these things that they sketched for us and sent us. And they saw them everywhere along the non-illuminated side of the moon.
Well, it's still pretty interesting. And that brings to another point. If indeed this was a collision of something going at hypervelocity and hitting the moon's surface, there's got to be a lot of heat generated somehow. So do you have infrared cameras on the board?
Unfortunately, didn't have infrared cameras on this mission. Hopefully a future, you know, future Artemis missions will be equipped with different kinds of cameras, including infrared cameras.
So have any of the other non-manned spacecraft seen flashes or evidence for that from feedback from optical spectroscopy?
Yes. So there's a spacecraft that's been in orbit around the moon for a long time, since about 2009. And this is the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter. And one of the things that it's been able to do is to see new impact craters. So comparing before and after images, we can sort of see a crater that wasn't there 6 months ago, but is today. And it has also imaged a few impact flashes. We've also have observers from here on Earth, astronomers, mainly amateur astronomers, who have reported seeing impact flashes. So this is a phenomenon that we know happens. And we were hoping that the Artemis II crew would have the opportunity to see it, and they did.
Okay, let's talk about what's going to happen today in readiness for the splashdown tomorrow.
Yeah, so right now everything is focused on reentry tomorrow. So the capsule is going to land off the coast of San Diego at about 6 o'clock El Paso time. So in the next 24 hours or so, they're going to be going through all their preps, all their sort of rehearsal for the landing sequence. So they're going to go through the Earth's atmosphere, super high speed, just like a meteor hitting the Earth. And the vehicle will guide itself through the atmosphere, bleeding off that energy, ultimately deploying parachutes and then splashing down into the ocean, where a Navy ship is already there waiting for them.
It's already there. It's just waiting with a big net to catch the crew and the everything. One quick question. Why is it that the landing always comes in an ocean? I know other countries, when they've been up there, they often land on land.
Yeah, the Soviets, now Russians, they land on land because they have a big land area on which to do that. The U.S. has sort of favored splashdowns for its capsules. There's a lot of surface area on the Earth that's covered with water. But essentially, even up till the time that the capsule enters the Earth's atmosphere, we can command it to essentially land anywhere on Earth. So it's got a lot of capability for doing that.
All right. Well, we look forward to you tomorrow to talk about the successful landing of this wonderful operation, Artemis II. And have a great day, okay, Jose?
You too. Go Artemis.